Hey there, Margie Bryce here, bringing you the Crabby Pastor podcast. And I don't think you're going to be too surprised to know that it's too easy today to become the Crabby Pastor. Our time together will give you food for thought to help you be the ministry leader fully surrendered to God's purposes and living into whatever it takes to get you there and keep you there. So we're talking about sustainability in ministry. Hey there. Before we get started on today's episode, I want to give you this opportunity to enhance your self-care. Part of self-care is having another individual come alongside you, whether you're looking at a coach, a spiritual director, or whatever means you have, so that you're not walking this journey alone, that you have another person walking with you. And that is the Ministerial Coaching Initiative. I've been a part of that now for this past year, and as a coach, I have enjoyed walking alongside ministry leaders. This is a Lilly Foundation grant that is providing coaching through Point Loma Nazarene, their Center for Pastoral Leadership. So what I'm going to do is put a link in the show notes for where you can go to get more information. You know, tell them the Crabby Pastor sent you. They'll laugh about that, but tell them that I sent you. So this is one of the avenues where I provide coaching for ministry leaders, and you know I do it independently as well and through several other places. So I wanted to offer this to you because, you know, maybe you'd like to try on coaching, and maybe you'd like to make a commitment to do, this is 8 sessions, and there is a cost involved. It's a good deal, because I'm always about the good deal, always. So you know, if you're going to try on coaching, you don't want to try it on just once. You know, I'm going to have 1 session, just see how it goes. I think you're at least going to benefit from 3 to 4 to get a sense of whether it's a good fit and how it's going to operate for you, because coaching is its own thing. It's not exactly therapy. It's not exactly a lot of stuff, but it's its own entity that helps you discover and empowers you to discover some new solutions to existing situations or how you want to manage yourself in the midst of your ministry context. So maybe you want to check this out. The link is in the show notes. It will be there through the end of the year. And then the program does start in January. So that's why it's there for that long. So I hope you'll consider this. Well, thank you so much for tuning in again to the Crabby Pastor podcast, where we're talking all things self-care. And in that, we're talking leadership, because right, the very first person that you have to be able to lead is your own self. Yes, you have to do that. So I am here, though, again with Chris Adams, who's out at Biola, but he is very involved. Chris, can you remind us of what your program is called out there?
Sure. I'm the executive director of the Mental Health in the Church Initiative, which is at Rosemead Graduate School of Psychology here within Biola University. And our main emphasis is a project called Flourishing in Ministry, which is ongoing research and coach training and coaching program to help people flourish over the long haul. We're studying kind of what's right with healthy pastors and how do we build those practices and factors into the life of every pastor if we can, to help them sustain joy-giving ministry, even with all the complexities and stresses and strains and challenges that are there.
Yes, yes. Well, that makes us then kindred spirits of sorts, and you're doing more intentional research and coming up with great material, and I'm just having you on the podcast to tell us stuff.
Well, it's a privilege. Thank you again for having me. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we're going to talk both in this episode and in the next one about sabbatical and sabbatical how-tos. I remember when I led a merger of 4.5 churches southwest of Detroit.
Wow.
And, oh, I thought you knew that. You just looked really surprised.
Yeah.
But, and at the end of that, you know, I'd gone through community needs assessment. Well, let me back up. They worshiped in four churches initially, four and a half. Then we left the churches. They sold those buildings. We pooled the money. We worshiped for 4 years in the school. We purchased a building. We had to do a capital campaign. We had to do a community needs assessment because I was thinking, you got to serve your community. So we have to figure that whole thing out. And then the usual, you know, routine of ministry. And so that's why I can talk about burnout. But when I stepped back from that, the people above me offered me a 3-month paid sabbatical, then I could take a different church. And some of what I felt like was my gifting in ministry was going in and clearing out foundation so that the Lord would have something on which to build and decluttering, maybe. I don't know how you would call that, mm-hmm. but they wanted me to go do it at another church. And I said, 3 months, how do I know that I'm going to be okay after 3 months?
Sure.
And she said, well, you know, you take your sabbatical. And I said, but I have had friends who have taken a month or 6 week sabbatical and come back. And within 2 weeks, they sound the same as before they went in sabbatical.
Right.
So then the supervisor said to me, well, they just weren't doing sabbatical right. Which for my little perfectionistic mindset, I hit a panic button. I thought, oh my gosh, can you do sabbatical wrong? You know, now I have to do it right. It just, at that particular sure. stage of burnout, it was more like heaping another thing
sure.
onto me. And it kind of
adds pressure. And sure.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind. So what we're going to talk about, though, is sabbatical. And this episode is going to focus on how to get ready for a sabbatical and what to expect during sabbatical.
Sure. That was great. Great point. And one of the things I think I'd want to say is sabbatical can be crafted uniquely around a particular pastor and what their stage in life is, their stage in career, the particular stage that their particular congregation is in and what the needs are there. Let's talk maybe quickly just about why sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of research in helping professions, including clergy, that there can be a sort of a burnout wall at 7 to 10 years, somewhere in there, which is interesting to me because traditionally sabbatical has been an every 7 year kind of rhythm. And I think there might be some wisdom mm-hmm. to that pastors need a break and in a holy detachment kind of way. And what often I find that board members don't understand, who may also have stressful jobs, and they'll say, you know, I don't get a sabbatical. Why should a pastor get a sabbatical? You know, I have a hard job. Do you get to just take off work for several months or something? And not understanding what psychologists call role immersion for pastors, which is you're immersed in a role 24/7. Now, there are some other roles maybe that approximate this, maybe family physician, social worker in some ways, but it's very unique for pastors. 24/7, when are you not a pastor, right? And carrying the ongoing concerns and weight of the burden of command, as it were, leadership of a church, the ongoing emotional and spiritual burdens you're carrying for individual people, for the church as a whole, the unrelenting interpersonal stress that's just always there. So even when pastors are taking a weekly time of rest, which I would mm-hmm. encourage, sometimes we can still be working in our head and still, you know, carrying the stress, even when we're supposed to be resting, rejuvenating, doing something recreational, recreational.
Mm-hmm. Other than.
Mm-hmm. And so having an extended time to step away from that and engage in some other life-giving kinds of activities ultimately is for the sake of the effectiveness of the ministry. And we'll talk more about that. But the purpose of it is for pastors to rest. So that's part of it, but also to sort of gain some perspective and maybe have a renewed vision for where God wants to take that particular church and particular ministry it gives a time for the church and the pastor to maybe think about how has the pastor or pastoral staff been over-functioning in some ways? And has the congregation been under-functioning? And do we need to revisit that? Do we need to do some job crafting around the particular pastor's role so that we're leveraging their strengths and optimizing those in the best way possible, given what the particular leadership needs are in this congregation at this particular point in time? And where is that particular pastor in their own career and in development and those kinds of things? So there are opportunities here for clarity to emerge if it's done well, both for congregational leaders and congregation and pastor, when it's done intentionally with intentionality and thoughtfulness, and which means starting significantly a long time before the actual sabbatical. And so I would recommend starting those conversations in preparation, probably a year out, if possible, a year ahead of time, begin to get other staff ready, to get church board, whatever that looks like in your particular context, understand the purpose of sabbatical. What do we need to think about ahead of time to plan? How is a pastor going to use the time? And sometimes that could be for some rest, some recreation and travel. I was talking to one pastor recently. He's a good friend of mine who just got done with sabbatical. And he said his church said to him, it's the second sabbatical he's taken in 15 years. And they said, COVID's been exhausting. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do any classes. You don't have to do any continuing ed. Just go and travel and have fun and be with your family and, rest and get rejuvenated and don't worry about anything here. We've got it covered. And so he said that was a real gift because he didn't feel any kind of pressure to have to produce any other kind of work, while he was on sabbatical, which was kind of a gift. So prepping ahead of time to thoughtfully let that even inform leadership meetings and even sermon series, perhaps leading into sabbatical. Because the other thing sometimes pastors don't think about, in my experience, is that you're also modeling something for your congregation. Because most people, at least in the United States anyway, are living at a pace that is not sustainable. It's just living at way too fast of a pace. And so you're modeling spiritual practices here of slowing and reminding everyone you're not defined by your productivity, by your accomplishments. You're defined by being a beloved son or daughter of God in Christ. And to be able to rest in that and do ministry and work out of that identity is just a very different rhythm. And so to start preparing everybody a long period ahead of time, and to your point about, if I take 6 weeks off or 2 months off or 3 months, whatever it is, and come back and 2 weeks in, I feel just as bad as before I went on sabbatical. Well, that would suggest a couple of things to me. One is, I think we really need to reexamine rhythms and practices before, just in general. If that's the case, then
before you go on sabbatical, examine your own rhythms and pace.
Yeah.
Because
the idea is not I'm going to exhaust myself 24/7 for 7 years and then get to sabbatical and take a break that probably won't be long enough to totally recharge my batteries, so to speak, and then come back and then exhaust myself again for 7 years. And that's not what we're hoping for here. What we want to do is have a sustainable, ongoing, feasible rhythm to begin with that has healthy boundaries to it, healthy practices and rhythms that are sustainable. And one of the things that sabbatical can do is help us reflect on that is the tyranny of the urgent can pull us into being pulled so many different directions or we're too busy or we're working too much. And that's what we find with pastors is that it's not that we don't love what we do. We love it a lot and probably do too much of it for our own well-being and maybe even for the effectiveness of our own leadership without realizing it. We know there's a point of diminishing returns with any job where after a certain amount of effort and hours, 40, 50, 60, whatever it is, our effectiveness and creativity and productivity actually start to decrease pretty rapidly.
Even in a spiritual kind of task?
I think so. Yeah. And of course we believe that the Holy Spirit is an inexhaustible source of power and enablement, of course, but God created us with limits. And that's built into the Genesis narrative, even in creation, rhythms of work and rest, day and night. And we see that modeled in the life of Jesus, where Jesus a number of times goes away to rest, to sleep, to pray, to eat, to be with the people he's closest to, even though not all the ministry is done yet and the demands are still there. The crowd is pressing in, the text will say, and yet Jesus goes away. Because Jesus is tapped into a deeper rhythm, being led by the Spirit in that.
Sure. And I tend to push back anyway on this 24/7 concept. You know, I just do. And there needs to be on your Sabbath day, your days off, you know, then you need to have some healthy boundaries there to protect that.
Yeah. I was thinking, Margie, about a pastor that I was working with as a client in psychotherapy years ago, and he was very depressed and was a pastor of a small, medium-sized church. And I just was asking him about his rhythms, you know, and his work habits and so forth. And he said, well, I haven't taken a sabbatical or even a vacation in 10 years because my church board, quote unquote, won't let me. And he said, besides, you know, who would check on people who were sick if I was gone? And he literally said to me, who would change the rolls of toilet paper in the church restrooms if I was out of town? And so wasn't delegating anything at all and massively overfunctioning. And, you know, no wonder he was depressed. He was doing everything and not sharing that. And certainly there were some board issues there, but there was also something for him as what we call a secondary gain. What was he getting out of that overfunctioning on some level that needed to be examined, whether that's codependency and needing to be needed, or it's fear-based, whatever that is. One of the opportunities sabbatical can give us is to take a look at the deeper motivations that might be happening that the Lord would want to illuminate and bring to our attention, so we can live out of a place of a secure attachment to God and feeling like we're a beloved son or daughter of God, and live out of that place.
And then you wonder, some of these pastors that are changing toilet paper rolls, that kind of thing, you know, you just wonder if in their mind somehow they're saying, I'm being a servant of my people. And you're saying, but that's maybe not the role that, and you're taking someone else's ability to serve by doing that.
And certainly, you know, nothing wrong with taking on some of the more menial tasks of the church in a servant-like kind of way. But that was just a symptom of a much larger problem, where he just wasn't able to do any strength-based kind of job crafting and delegate anything and involve other people in ministry on teams, which, you're right, you know, gives them the joy of experiencing God using their gifts and strengths in ministry. And he just wasn't assertive at all. He was very passive in all of this. And so had a lot of work to do around that. What I would suggest in terms of duration, we talked a little bit about this too a minute ago, where you touched on this. If a pastor can do 4 months, I have just heard from lots and lots of pastors that I've been coaching or working with in therapy, that 4 months was really helpful as opposed to 3 months or less. And here's why. That's not unlike, you may have heard, there's actually research to back this up, that a 3 week vacation is better than a 2 week vacation. If you're going on vacation, the reason being, the first week you are resting, kind of, or decompressing, excuse me. The first week you're just kind of, you know, coming down off of stress and pace of life and so forth. Second week, you're getting good rest. And the third week, you're actually engaging with fun stuff on vacation. And if you just have 2 weeks or less, you can't get through that whole cycle. I think something similar is perhaps the case for sabbaticals, where the first month you're decompressing, second month you're resting, third month you're actually engaging in some things that are renewing and restorative, whether that's personally or professionally. And fourth month, you're starting to think about reentry and your mind's starting to go back to. So if it's only 3 months, you're already starting to do that by the end of month two. And, I'm waiting on the tsunami that's coming when I get back to the office of emails and phone calls and unresolved conflicts and sermon series and everything that's waiting on me and can distract our attention from really just letting ourselves relax into and be fully present in a deep experience of renewal. And so 4 months, if possible, is ideal in my experience.
Well, and then you were talking about every 7 years, and I was just thinking about where was I, how many years in? And I think I was like in the 7 or 8, 9, encroaching on 10, and had not taken sabbatical, but it was such a, well, I could give an excuse, but I won't bother. But the other thing I wanted to say is that people in Europe take a month off.
Yeah.
Just the average workforce.
That's right.
They think we're crazy. I think we are.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then certainly in ministry, we tend to feel that because we are spirit-led and all of this, that, somehow we can supersede the fact that we are finite.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So you're saying then start a year out, and is there somebody that pastors can work with to see that their sabbatical is as productive? That's now, I can't say that. Can you? I mean, you don't want your sabbatical to be productive, but you don't want it to be unproductive either.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it depends on what we mean by productive. I was talking with a leader recently who had 4 months off, and he wasn't really producing anything. He was in between major ministry assignments. So his new assignment gave him, said, you need to take some time off in between your previous church and this church. Take a sabbatical, not expecting you to come back having produced anything or finished another degree or anything like that. But he was very structured in his approach to it in terms of meeting with a spiritual director and structuring spiritual practices that helped him grieve and let go of some things from the previous assignment and really be open and ready for what God had next. And so he really designed his own rhythms to focus on his physical health and exercise, time with his family and close friends, and then designed a rhythm of practices that spiritually and emotionally helped him find some closure from the previous ministry assignment and get prepared for the new one. And he came into the new one just really refreshed and ready to engage with what all that means when you enter into a new assignment.
How about beneficial? You want to make sure that your sabbatical is really beneficial to you.
Yeah, beneficial might be better than productive, fruitful maybe. Yeah, in some way. And and a lot of that is something that God does. So trusting God knows what pastors need. And then we engage in those spiritual practices to position ourselves to receive what God has for us. And God knows what we need and can lead us and guide us in the planning and in the actual experience of the sabbatical to invest in those conversations and relationships and practices that are truly going to be deeply renewing and then come back into ministry and re-enter, hopefully with some wiser perspective, reasonable pace. And we'll talk about re-entry, I think, in another episode. But this really does give a chance for us to look at, okay, what is the pace that I've been living? What do I need to re-examine and reflect on? What do I need to adjust in my regular rhythm that I'm living all the time so that I don't get to a sabbatical where I'm, my next sabbatical, where I'm barely hanging on by a thread and, barely functioning. But it might be a little weary, a little tired, and welcome a break, but I'm living a sustainable pace the entire time. And so sabbatical can help us reevaluate a lot of those kinds of things and come back into ministry with a sustainable rhythm and pace.
And some of that is what you can structure into the planning and preparation of what it is that you're going to do.
And some of that can be, upfront addressing concerns that a church might have. So sometimes the fear, for example, is you're going to come back and resign after your sabbatical, or you're taking this time off to go look for another church somewhere, those kinds of things. And so just addressing those things up front, that that's not what this is for, unless, I mean, sometimes that's a reality, like that a pastor is in a discernment process about that. And so to be transparent about that, the fear for the pastor can be, I'm going to go on sabbatical and I'm going to come back, and while I was gone, somebody subverted me and I'm going to get let go, or somebody else has made a power move or undermine my leadership while I was gone, that kind of thing. And so there can be concerns on both sides about what is this time for, and trusting what's happening, you know, during this time, that it's important to talk about that up front, because if those concerns are really significant, then that would indicate that there's a lack of trust there to begin with. It probably should be addressed and worked on before a pastor goes on sabbatical.
Okay. So you also said the term holy detachment. Can you say more about that?
Sure. I picked that phrase up from a good friend of mine, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber, who's a spiritual director and psychologist. She also works a lot with ministry leaders, and we do a lot of fun things together. And it's something she said to me when I was talking to her, just sharing as a friend about my own life. And she said, I was getting ready to go on vacation. She said, I wish for you and pray for you holy detachment. And that just resonated with me, and unpack that with her. And I think what I mean by that, and perhaps what she means by that, is in a healthy sense, detaching from the role, detaching from ministry work. And what we find is it's just so difficult for ministry leaders to do that because of that 24/7 role immersion, and unless you're intentional about it. So doing things that take your full attention to do them, that you enjoy doing just for the sake of doing them and can literally get lost in them like a child at play, are important to do on a regular basis, but certainly as part of a sabbatical, because you can't do that thing and also be mentally working and thinking about the church, or thinking about, well, that's a good sermon idea, and then that sermon starts percolating. You can't be doing that and doing this other activity at the same time. So doing something that is immersive, takes your full attention to do it, you have some skill in doing, love at doing it just for the sheer enjoyment of the activity, is a really important practice to help us detach in a holy sense from ministry work. Because so often pastors are taking a Sabbath or a day off, but we're really still working in our head. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we're still overtaxing our stress physiology and our body and brain, and not really taking a full break from work. Because what we know is when we do detach in healthy ways for significant chunks of time on a regular basis, then we come back to our work with exponentially higher productivity, mm-hmm. creativity, efficiency, et cetera, than we would if we just sort of kept gunning it out and never took a break and never played, never rested, never just spent time with God, just to be with God and hear from God about your own life and ministry, and not having to be working on a Bible study prep or a sermon prep or something like that, but just to nurture your own sense of being with God.
Okay. And then if you could summarize for us, what would be the goals and objectives and or objectives in sabbatical?
Yeah, I think that depends on the pastor and the church to a great extent, but taking time to rest and get and become renewed and get perspective and come back with a sense of renewed vision, mm-hmm. For perhaps where God wants to take a church next, a particular church, and what a particular leader's role is going to look like in that, what needs to happen to in terms of infrastructure or personnel or even job description adjustments to enable that to happen. Yeah, reflect on what's God been up to and where do I sense God leading us in the future. Sometimes that can include an equipping. If a pastor feels like I need some more equipping in some way, mm-hmm. in order to move us that direction that we sense God is taking us, then you know, at least beginning that training in some way. It's a good time to invest in working with a coach, with a spiritual director, perhaps, to again focus on your own spiritual journey in an emphasized kind of way, and then let the other pieces flow out of that. But I would say just to revisit how we're doing what we're doing, what do we need to adjust, and where's God calling us in the future, and then just to get rest, to get out of that 24/7 role immersion for a little while, and just be able to fully exhale and let go of that, and can be a really, really life-giving time for both a pastor and a church. When you've got other people covering preaching responsibilities, for example, and pastoral care responsibilities, and God can do some unique things in a congregation while the pastor's away that are really enlightening and help to inform, okay, how do we lean into the kingdom work God is calling this particular church to do in this particular community in a new way, in light of some of the insights and reflections that we've had while we've been away.
Sure, sure. And I think it's good therapy for the pastor to step away for a period of time and then step back and say, oh, look, the church is still standing while I was gone.
That's right.
Go figure. That's right.
Which is also a function of healthy leadership. If a leader can step away for a while and things still, generally speaking, run well, then that's good organizational leadership. And so it should be the case that for 3 to 4 months, a pastor can step away, certainly with some advanced planning for key pieces and things, you know, not catastrophically implode.
Sure, sure. And coaches, spiritual directors, I'm a coach as well, are amazing helps to come alongside of you during your time of planning and preparation to help you work through all of the pieces and components and your hopes and dreams for your time of sabbatical.
In preparation, one of my favorite questions to ask a pastor who's, if I'm, you know, doing some sabbatical coaching, is what do you most long for right now in your life in ministry? What's the deepest longing that you have? And sometimes that takes a while to uncover and articulate, but answer to a question like that perhaps should drive then, okay, what am I going to do in sabbatical? What are my goals for sabbatical? And again, it's not about doing it right. There's no wrong way to do it, I would suggest. It's what do you long for? What do you need? And some of that might happen in conversation with, you know, church leadership as well. And people that know you well can speak into that. And you sort of craft some sabbatical goals in community in some way is, I think, a really healthy way to do it.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's stop this piece of our conversation here. And you can join us in the next episode. And we're going to talk about coming back, re-entry. That's kind of, I always think about, my dad used to make me watch all the launches and NASA stuff when I was a kid. And I always thought about re-entry. And that's dangerous.
It is.
It is. So we're going to talk about that next time. So thanks so much for being here with us, Chris. We appreciate your
insight. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, friends. The Krabby Pastor podcast is sponsored by Bryce Art Glass, and you can find that on Facebook. I make stained glass. That's part of my self-care. And also by Bryce Coaching, where I coach ministry leaders and business leaders. And so the funds that I generate from coaching and from making stained glass is what is supporting this podcast. And I will have opportunities for you to be a part of sponsoring me. And as always, you can do the buy me a cup of coffee thing in the show notes, but I will have some other ways that you can be a part of getting the word out about the importance of healthy self-care for ministry leaders.
Hey, thanks for listening. It is my deep desire and passion to champion issues of sustainability in ministry and for your life. So I'm here to help. I stepped back from pastoral ministry and I feel called to help ministry leaders create and cultivate sustainability in their lives so that they can go the distance with God and whatever plans that God has for you. I would love to help. I would consider it an honor. And in all things, make sure you connect to these sustainability practices, you know, so that you don't become the crabby pastor.